to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Numbers 21 in verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were discouraged because of the journey that they were in. Now, sometimes things that we do causes us to get discouraged. We're long in the battle, and we get discouraged. Now, some people are discouraged more often than other people are. We know that. Some people are. And my phone going in and out. Yeah, I thought it was.
Faith. Let me go with this in the air. All right? Yeah. So. All right. There we go. Next slide, please. We all get discouraged at one time or another. If you have not been discouraged, I don't want to throw a wet blanket on you, but at some time you're going to get discouraged. We all get discouraged at one time or other. Things don't go the way that you want. You ladies know it. You make preparations for the family get together and something like that, everything. And all at once, people don't show up. They can't show up. And here you had all those plans. Now, you had plans for Christmas get togethers. And then a monkey wrench is thrown into it. You make all those plans and you get discouraged. You get discouraged in whatever profession, whatever it is. You get discouraged. I've been down that road numerous times, discouraged about things. We get discouraged, and most of the time we get discouraged because we get our focus off of God onto the problem that we have. Well, I want to share with you some things that happen when people get discouraged. Next slide. There are six things that happen that Christians do when they get discouraged. And I want to share that with you this morning. And of course, at the end, we're going to give you the cure. It's always good, if you know what the disease is, but you like the cure. Now, with discouragement, there is a cure. There's a cure for discouragement. Not like some diseases we have today. When I went to the doctor and he said, you have Sjogren's syndrome. Now, for those who don't know what Sjogren's syndrome is, it's a disease they don't know a whole lot about, but it dries you up inside and out. I mean, you have to drink a lot. I drink about 90 ounces of fluid a day to try and keep hydrated. That still doesn't do it. Through the night, I have to get up and drink. Through the night, I have to get up and put drops in my eyes because it hurts, because you get dry. My mother had the disease so bad that she could put her hands on something and she wouldn't leave fingerprints because it had taken all the oils out of her body. Didn't leave fingerprints. And at times, you know, I have to keep a drink because your throat closes it up and you can't talk, can't swallow. And you got to have it there. But I looked at that doctor and I pointed my finger and I said, it's only for this life. It's only for this life. Discouragement doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be for the entire life. There's a cure for it. But anyhow, let's move on with what they do. Next slide. When we get discouraged, we pray wrong sometimes. We pray out of our emotions because we're discouraged. You know, we get emotional. We're emotional creatures. God has made us that way. And so we pray out of those discouragement that we're in. You see, next slide. Moses, one that I just showed you there, he was discouraged. Now, I cannot imagine being the leader over a 2 million bunch of people, and a lot of them were grumblers and murmurers. I can't imagine it. But Moses was. They grumbled and complained. You know, I tell people sometimes they grumble and complain to me. I said, you know what? I think you'd complain if someone hung you with a new rope. Sometimes they say, well, yeah. Well, they were complaining so much. In Numbers, Moses said, if you deal thus with me, kill me. I pray thee out of hand. If I found favor in thy sight, kill me. He was discouraged. He just wanted to leave this world and leave them bunch of grumbling people behind. You get someone else. I don't want it anymore. He was discouraged. Well, then the one that's up here is Elijah. Elijah got discouraged. I mean, he had that great victory on Mount Carmel. And the Lord was upon him. He outran the chariot and came to the city where Jezebel was, thinking that, okay, they killed the prophets, and now they're going to get rid of Jezebel. But they didn't. And Jezebel said, the gods do so to me and more if the life of Elijah isn't like those prophets that he killed. And Elijah got afraid and he ran. He was discouraged. He went under the juniper tree and he says, it's enough, O Lord. Take my life. Take my life. He prayed wrong. They prayed wrong. Sometimes when we get discouraged, we pray wrong. Maybe our praying wrong is, Lord, you know those complainers. Cut their tongue out. Maybe we pray wrong like that. Maybe we pray wrong, you know, and say, Lord, just let them experience what they want to be, do to me. You know, maybe we pray wrong. Now, you know, I'm a radical prayer. I do pray radical. I've told people already, you know, they're influencing some people that they should not be influencing them the wrong way. The proper way, you know, they're bad influence on them. And I've told them already, I said, listen, I said, I'd hate to see you have a broken leg. They said, well, you going to break it? I said, no, I'll tell the Lord to break your leg. And I have prayed already. Lord, If they're going to be such a bad influence and lead someone to hell, break their leg and get them out of the picture. We're in Kentucky. I had a man, he was, we were praying for him, and I don't know why I prayed it. I just said, Lord, beat that man up. And his wife came to me through the week then, and she said, she was a little bit white. She said, do you remember how you prayed for Harold? I said, no, I don't remember. You said, Lord, beat him up. He said, he went to the bar last night, got in the fight. He's in the hospital. So, okay. I didn't say I was sorry. I said, good. Maybe he'll straighten up. Well, eventually he did straighten up, but it was after they were divorced and all. But we pray wrong sometimes. Next slide. Sometimes we say the wrong things. We make rash statements about things and about other people. Job cursed the day he was born. He said, let the day perish when they said I was born, and the night when they rejoiced that the man was conceived. Job was getting discouraged. He'd gone through a lot. And David the same way. Next slide. David the same way. David got discouraged. I was sharing in Sunday school, you know, for years after David was anointed, he was being hunted by King Saul. And at one point, he says, all men are liars. Now, we know that's not true. Not all men are liars. There's a lot of them out there are liars. A lot of women out there are liars. But because of all that was happening to him, the way people were treating him, he couldn't trust people. David said, all men are liars. See, our perspective narrows when we get discouraged and we're in pain and we speak too quick without thinking. You know, we get tunnel vision when we get discouraged. We don't see everything. We just look through the glass of discouragement that we're in. Next slide. Wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. We begin to question what we know is true. God's still on the throne, but we begin to question. We doubt a lot of things. And we allow the enemy then to control our thoughts. Now, John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, was in prison. Now, how long he's in prison, we don't know for sure, but he's in prison for a while. And believe me, excuse me, some prisoners in prisons around here, they complain because they don't have HBO. Well, believe me, they didn't have HBO in his prison. They didn't even have an indoor toilet. Well, they did. It was a hole in the ground. It was filthy accommodations that he was in. Rats running around. You had to eat your food quick because the rats would eat it if you didn't. I mean, that's the kind of situation he's in. And he knew he baptized his cousin and saw the Holy Spirit come upon him. And we know things happen in our life. We say, yes, but after a while, when things don't go right and we're in a desperate situation, we forget about what God has done and shown us, and we get discouraged. And I believe John the Baptist was getting a little discouraged. Now, some say it wasn't him, it was the disciples, but we'll not argue that. We'll agree to disagree. But he sent come his disciples to Jesus, and they said, our master wants to know, are you the one that's coming, or is there another one that's going to come? I believe he's getting a little discouraged. Well, Jesus sent the message back. Go back and tell him, the blind received their sight, the deaf hear, the dumb mouth are open, and all the things that are going on. Tell him what's happened, because he knew, John knew the scriptures about the Messiah that was coming. And you see, we begin to think the wrong things. We begin to doubt, and sometimes we even doubt our salvation. We get discouraged. Am I really saved? We begin to doubt because we get discouraged, and we're all subject to that. Next slide. We do the wrong things. We do the wrong things. You see, when we doubt and we don't have relief, we can get angry. We even get bitter sometimes because, you know, we act out of our emotions and not out of faith. That happened to Moses. Moses was discouraged. The people had complained, and they continue to complain, and they continued to complain. And Moses got discouraged. You saw what we read there. Lord, just kill me. He was discouraged. And another second time they said, they want water again, Lord. Well, water is necessary. And so God said, okay, take him to the rock and speak to the rock and water will come out. But Moses was discouraged. Anger had set in. And he stood there and he said, must we get water for you rebels? And he took his thumb and he smote the rock twice. And because of that, he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. Because he got discouraged and did something that he shouldn't do. Elijah, he hid from Jezebel. Who's Jezebel? Servant of the devil. Why should a servant of God hide from a servant of the devil? He did something he shouldn't do. See, we do things that we shouldn't do. Act out of our emotions. Sometimes we speak out of our emotions as well. We look at the situation and not at God. See, we imagine our problem is bigger. Go to the next slide. We get our focus wrong. We think that our problem is bigger than God. We forget what God said to Abraham. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing too hard. The spies went into the promised land and they saw the giants. Were they big? They were big. They've uncovered skeletal remains of men 16 feet tall. That is tall. That big. That's taller than the ceiling, isn't it, Brian? Yeah. Could you imagine 16 feet tall? Could you imagine how big those guys were? They weren't bean poles. Could you imagine the arms and the legs and the chest on a guy 16 feet tall? Goliath wasn't that tall. And the spearhead weighed 20 pounds. When they saw them, they got discouraged. They saw the problem, but they didn't see God. As we get discouraged, we get our focus wrong. We see the problem, but we don't see God. And the devil just feeds that discouragement. Yeah, look how big those giants are. Yeah, look at that. And Elisha's servant, he got discouraged, went out to draw water one morning. And he looked around, and there was the army of the Syrians around them with chariots. And he said, oh, man, what are we going to do? I knew it, Elisha, I knew if you open your mouth once too often, this was going to happen. Isn't that what we say sometimes we get discouraged? We say the wrong things, you know. I knew it was going to happen. You open your mouth once too often. Look what's happened now. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes. And the mountains around with chariots did abound. Chariots of fire. He said, there's more with us than be with them. We get our focus wrong because we're looking at the problem that's going on. And we're discouraged. We're discouraged. Next slide. We exhibit a wrong spirit then. See, it starts like a snowball. Did you ever make snowmen oh, that's fun making snowmen. But how you have to start with a little snowball, or, you know, and then you start rolling it around in the snow, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. No. And that's the way it is with discouragement. It starts out small, and it gets bigger and bigger, like a big snowball. Unless it's unchecked, it gets out of hand. And you're in full-blown discouragement, running from Jezebel. We start down the road to discouragement, and it's not checked, and soon we get a spirit of defeatism. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's a spirit of defeatism. And then we get critical and cynical. Why'd they ask me to do that? They knew what was going to happen. We get cynical. Things are going to go wrong, you know. We get to the point, we sing that old song. Nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat worms. Short ones, fat ones, long ones, skinny ones, I'm going to go eat worms. How many ever heard that before? Yeah. Get discouraged. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. We get cynical. A wrong spirit. And then we begin to murmur and complain and get grouchy. Saw a sign in a gift shop one time and said, did you wake up grouchy this morning? Did you let him sleep? I thought, yeah. I ought to get that for some people I know. We begin to complain and murmur like the rest of them. Spirit of defeatism. What's the cure? Next slide. The cure is to focus on God. We need to focus on God. Look beyond the problem to the God who is bigger than any problem that we have. Look to God, the one who's bigger than any problem that we ever had. You see. Next slide. The Psalm David says, David got discouraged. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. Why are you cast down? And why are you disquieted in me? Why am I getting discouraged? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And he says, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. Remember God. He hasn't forsaken us. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore we shall say, I shall not fear what man can do unto me. We need to put our hope in him. Focus on God and what he can do and his power. Next slide. Trust God. Trust. We need to trust God. Well, I know when you're discouraged, it's hard. It's hard. I'm not telling you any of this is easy. It's hard. Job was very discouraged. Very discouraged. Look what he said. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. Though this situation goes to the point that I'm going to die, I'm still going to trust God. The trust is got. Our hope is in God and our trust is in him, not in the problem that's causing the discouragement. We got our focus off of him, just like Peter did walking on the water. Got the focus on the problem, and he began to sink. And you see, the cure is hope in God. And trust in him. He's bigger than any problem we might have. He's bigger than any discouragement that we can have. He's there. Oh, it might not happen overnight. You might have to pray and seek God. But I often heard the old saying, if you can stand the pull, he'll get you through. If you can stand the pull, he'll get you through. You know, if you're down in a hole someplace, someone throws you a rope, and they're going to pull you out. If you can hold on to the rope, they'll get you out. If you can stand the pull, God will get you through. Look beyond the problems Next slide. It's the end. Look beyond the problem to the God who is over, who created everything, said, let there be, and he's there. And God will bring you through all of it.